flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Press conference yesterday, there was a lot of meat on the bone, but what are our 6 biggest takeaways from yesterday? Beltway Ben, let's get started.
Number 6.
I put this at 6 because it's pretty damn clear. I won't say he'll never play here again because you know how things work, but Brandon Stevens will not be a Raven next year. The language that Eric used and talking about, well, he'll have free agency. Brandon Stevens will not be in this building next year.
I almost didn't put it on the list because it was such a fait accompli, but I did because the way I framed it is, if this guy's got no market, I still don't think they break his fall. I almost think this is a Tony Taters thing where.
But that's for a different reason.
Well,
the Orioles are just that's more.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, even if Brandon Stevens ends up signing a prove it contract because everybody's just like, that film is so bad. I just think with 11 picks, yeah, they've already earmarked a couple of corners. We're going to see more of Tampa. I don't think they'll break his fall.
Number 5.
I was glad we got clarity on the Dean Pease situation that early. And the fact that they've already sorted that out with Dean Pease tells me more changes are coming on the defensive side of the ball. They have to know that what Dean Pease did was so important and that Zach Orr is still very young and still has a lot to learn. And that staff, frankly, has had a hell of a time developing talent on that side of the ball. Guys took steps back across the board. So I'm hopeful that the conversations with Dean Pease and about maybe a new person in Dean Pease's role would also have them considering changing out some of these position coaches and doing something a little bit different.
Yeah, we're simpatico once again.
And Harbs is getting an extension. So coaching is sort of my 5.
But the Dean Pease of it all is who is going to be that veteran that they need to add to this coaching staff now that we know that Dean Pease is just going to be consulting?
Number 4.
4 is a bit of a twofer, though. Half of it we knew was coming. Kyle Hamilton's getting a bag, and they want to put him back in the role he was in a year ago. They need playmakers. He was a playmaker a year ago. Yes, he settled everything down on the back end, but he wasn't a playmaker, so they need him back in that role.
Yeah, we're simpatico. I think in their own way, they admitted that free safety is a real need, and that without wanting to give away too much, because they might not accomplish this, and they might get to... We might be at the 3rd preseason game, and they might be saying, bleep, Hamilton's by far the best thing we still have if we're in cover 2, if we're playing anything too deep, and even some center field, he's our guy. But I think they're aspiring to be able to move him and Marlon into some different roles. Back to the future.
Let's see if you guys are simpatico hacks the rest of the way.
Yeah, we've been simpatico the first three. That's interesting. So who's got the edge, Bone?
That's what I'm saying. Awesome. Simpatico hacks.
Even if I was winning 4-1, I'd be losing. So what's the difference?
Just
We're doing six pack of our takeaways from yesterday's presser in Beltway Ben. Let's continue.
Number three.
My three is, you know, stop me if you heard this before, but it's going to be a very tepid offseason. There's a couple of Ravens for life who, you know, the Ricards will get taken care of. You know, they'll play around with Marlins deal, but it's business as usual. It's free agents on the margins, and it's a focus on draft and develop.
I got something similar a little later. My three is, and a couple of these, I would like to preface by saying, with all due respect to Brian Wacker, I don't think Mark Andrews will lock to be back next year. I just listening to the way Eric spoke, and Jason, you were the one that pointed it out yesterday. Like, Harp said it one way, but I thought that Eric said it differently.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying he's a lock to not be here, but I don't think he's a lock to be back next year.
Number two,
again, with all due respect to Brian Wacker, I don't think Ronnie Stanley is back next year. I think they feel emboldened by what happened with the offensive line this year, Rosengarten, et cetera, like going younger and cheaper. You saw Zeitler didn't play in the final playoff game for the Lions. It hurt. Morgan Moses was a mess with the Jets. I think they're going to draft a left tackle or move Rosengarten to left tackle. I don't think they want to play that game with Ronnie Stanley anymore.
Yeah, we're just different orders here. Yeah. My two is this Andrews. Mark, you're going to hear Mark Andrews' name connected in trade conversations. Now, whether it's other people calling about him, we could go through all the nuance of that. And, of course, the Ravens never want to trade anybody, never want to trade for anybody, except they're in on everything. As they figure out Isaiah Likely's price point and Charlie Kohler's price point and Pat Ricard's price point, that's a lot of guys sort of in one room that they've got to sort out. And the one who would be, but I'd say the least long-term future here is Mark Andrews. And when Eric DaCosta brings up, hey, I've talked to this guy, but I'm going to keep those conversations private, he's only said that in the past that I could think of when they were going through a contract situation with a guy.
Yeah, it was Lamar.
Like, so I don't think Mark Andrews probably loves the fact that he's already made it to this point. And he's got 1 year left on his deal, and there's no future guaranteed money. He can see this. He's a savvy veteran. So the tight end stuff isn't going away.
Number one.
The Ravens have a new left tackle next year. I put it at number one because it's a hugely critical position, and the Ronnie Stanley saga has taken so many twists and turns, but my take is like GJ. I listened to that yesterday and said, they think Rosengarten can do it. Maybe there'll be a value play in free agency. They can bring McCary back as the swing guy, and they're going to draft tackles. They've got 11 draft picks. They're going to draft probably two tackles and then maybe sign a priority free agent right after the draft. They feel like they can develop them. That's where they save their money. I think Ronnie's going to get his money somewhere else.
My number one is run it back. Yeah. They legitimately said yesterday, like as Jason put it, stuff on the margins, maybe a Khalil Mack kind of thing. But again, they see it. This is a team that didn't get beat. They beat themselves. They feel like they have the roster for the most part. They can win a Super Bowl. They're running it back.
That's a big W for the Ginger Gorilla.
Yeah, that was my number one takeaway. We did TMI on that yesterday when the GM comes out and says, hey, don't have a lot of big decisions this year.
Not much on my plate.
Next year, maybe.
But that's the stuff they've got to do now. And that's where the Andrews and the Likely and the Sweet in the Plot for Rashad. And how much do we think Zay's going to cost a year from now? Where can we save now for later? That's what's going on.
And Van Noy, a little sweet and low in his iced tea. Yep. I think he deserves it. Hey, coming up next, Jim Bowden joined the show yesterday, and I think he said a lot of things that we've been saying for a while, and it's time for some necessary roughness. Saw Jerickson Profar, that's signed by the Braves, so of course the Orioles weren't interested, but maybe this will wake up the warehouse, but necessary roughness next.
The dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here on the Fan. So we've been vocal in this show, I'll say Jason most vocal, about this disappointing Orioles offseason. Quite frankly, back to the trade deadline, back to the offseason before. Doesn't feel like the Orioles are all in on winning. And it was curious, we had Jim Bowden on, former general manager of the Reds, MLB Radio, The Athletic, and he's been a champion of Mike Elias in this Orioles front office for a while. So we were curious to take his pulse on the Orioles and what they're doing this offseason. So here is Jim Bowden on the Orioles needing to know their window.
Am I crazy?
That's what we're seeing. But no, that's what we're seeing. Those are just facts. You're just repeating what you're seeing. And I'm seeing the same thing. And the message I would have for Seattle and Baltimore, I mean, look, I sat for decades in front offices and I was a GM for parts of 17 years. I know when you spend and when you don't spend. When you have a chance to win, you go, because the window's going to close quicker than you think. And as much as everyone would like to think that Rutschman's staying forever and Gunner's staying forever, I mean, the truth of the matter is Boris takes his clients to free agency. And when you get there, you know, Juan Soto tells you what it can look like.
Yeah.
And if you haven't signed him by now, it's going to get harder and harder every single year. And the fact they haven't signed either one of those guys this offseason, that's a really bad sign.
Yeah.
And so now the real possibility of having to trade them in a couple of years, all of a sudden is sitting in front of your face like, OMG, it could actually happen. So I am in the same school you are. And the message that I would be given to the Orioles ownership or Seattle's ownership, who, you know, they've got a top four starting rotation in baseball and they don't have the offense to win. I mean, what are you waiting for? Like, this is your window for both of those teams. If you want to win a world championship, it's these next several years where you can do it. And as an owner, this is where you overspend and take your loss. You don't break even. Most owners like to break even, right? They spend what they have and they put it back in the team. What you have to know as an owner is there's certain years where you overspend and you lose 15, 20 million with a whole idea of if we win or when we win, we know at some point we're going to have to completely cut back and make up for that loss. But when you win, you'd be amazed at what the revenue stream does. And all of a sudden, you have more money to do more things. And that's where, to your point, the spreadsheets and the algorithms don't ever tell the story. You need an owner that gets it. And I'm sorry, the guy in Arizona gets it.
Yes.
When Ken Kendrick went out and got Greinke several years ago, he got it. He understood it. When he made the move for Burns this offseason, he gets his window. He understands it's right here, right now. And my feeling from afar is that Baltimore and Seattle aren't seeing that, and they're going to regret it. They're going to regret it. When we get to 2028, they're going to look back and say, boy, we really screwed up our opportunity, didn't we?
Couple things for you, Jason, before I toss it to you. Number one, he's singing a quite different tune than he was a year ago, and he was talking about having crab cakes in Baltimore every October.
How's it feel to have the best GM in baseball? He's not saying it. Penthouse moves. Yeah. I know he's going to make penthouse moves.
Yeah, the other part of this is – It seems what he's implying, and it's what we've been saying, good is good enough to them. It's they as I said a few weeks ago, they don't want to win as badly as I do.
They want to do things their way. They want their way to be proven right, and they're going to be pigheaded enough that they eventually get themselves fired, and by then it'll be too late. And the new regime will come in, and they'll say, you know, sorry, but we got to trade Gunnar Henderson. Like, because if we don't trade him now, we're never going to get any kind of thing close to fair value. This will have all been for naught. And they're not, don't get it twisted. There isn't anybody out there, including Jim Bowden, who thinks their farm system is anything close to top of the heap. Mm-mm. It's maybe third best in the division. I'd say it's fourth best in the division right now. Tops. Fourth best in the division. Tops. So the cavalry ain't coming. And they're not picking first overall anymore. So, yeah, the time to act started two trade deadlines ago. They punted on that. They punted on it again in the offseason outside of a Burns rental. They punted on the entire trade deadline again last year and chose ridiculous, just absolute projects. Ridiculous projects like Eloy Jimenez and Rogers. I'm not going to say his first name. And
Kenny.
They punted on the entire, literally completely punted on the entire hot stove portion of the baseball calendar. No, they're an unserious organization when it comes to actually competing for a world title. And they don't have all the answers within, and all their prospects aren't going to pan out. And they have absolutely done major damage to this organization by their lack of any sense of urgency going back 2 years now.
They're in this 3-year window-ish, because they could potentially trade some of those guys if things don't break right for them. Adley's in arbitration this year. Gunner's in arbitration next year. This is the time to go. This is the time to overspend. And I go back to the call that we took at the Maryland Club a couple weeks ago. And a caller was pushing back on you, Jason, and was mentioning, well, if these things, if Adley is the first half guy, if Tyler O'Neill stays healthy, if Colton Cowser has more consistency, if Cedric Mullins has more, if Grayson Rodriguez.
A lot of ifs. If Grayson becomes an ace was one of them.
Well, sure. Is there some world where all of those things break right? Maybe, but they didn't do things to mitigate that type of variance. Where that's why you bring in guys that where you're not hoping and praying that all if all of these things break right, well, man, they'll be a damn good baseball team. That is what this hot stove time is to do. That is the time for the GM to bring in guys to mitigate that risk.
Jason, you mentioned this months ago, and I didn't buy it at first, but I think you're making some sense. Like, this reminds me a little bit of the 2012, 2014, 2016 Orioles, where it was all
this
about being...
got a lot of Duquette in this game.
It's like...
my way or the highway.
And being competitive is good enough. Like, it's not about winning a World Series. Because
they've got their buddies in the media with their talking points. Look how many regular season games they've
won.
You don't win anything for that.
No. We've won the most games
in the division. I'm telling you, he would rather have a 5-year stretch where we won the Moneyball Award, we had the fewest dollars spent per regular season victory over this period, over that period. He thinks that justifies his way of doing business. He'd rather have that than have one balls-out offseason where he actually competed and went for it and said, look, if we don't win in the next 2 years, there's going to be repercussions, but we're actually going to try to do it. Like, they have no, the human element of this, they have no feel for. He doesn't know how to speak to his players. He doesn't know how to message properly. He doesn't know how to do a real big boy major league deal, whether an extension with his own players or a contract with any real free agent who somebody else would have given a multi-year deal for. He is incapable of doing the job at the major league level, and it absolutely will come at a significant cost for Orioles fans.
Oh, and Jim said it. If we get to a point where you waste these 2028, 2029, when these guys are gone and who knows where the Orioles are at in a competitive cycle, that it's the what if years at that point where you have this collection of young talent under control at the same time for years and years and years, where now is the time to strike. You're on the clock. You can't afford to waste any of these years.
Especially if, unlike the Astros, there isn't going to be an Altuve deal.
No.
Right?
No.
They're not going to go out and trade for Gerrit Cole and trade for Verlander and keep him around for more than 30 starts.
And remember, that all started because Jim Crane said, we're doing this. He overruled the GM.
So if you're not doing that, and they're clearly not, then all the more reason why you had to be turning these prospects into players. And part of the reason I banged on them so much in real time and said, a third year at AAA, you're going to have given away this kid for nothing, because I was right and they were wrong.
Yeah.
When you have a kid go to Norfolk 3 straight years, you've told the market, I don't believe this player's very good. And you're an idiot. You are a fool for doing the things you did. A fool.
That's my worry. What's happening with Kobe Mayo.
No, history repeats itself. Hey, coming up next, the game of the night in college basketball is Illinois hosting Maryland. You can hear that game right here on 105.7 The Fan, beginning with pregame coverage at 8 o'clock. We'll preview it next here on The Fan.
Yeah, I think, you know, now that Derek's getting used to this, the fact that now he's on everyone's scout report, and now that we've gotten into league play, and every night you're going against, you know, he went up against two fifth-year seniors the other night. And just getting used to the physicality, I think that's the biggest thing that he's getting used to, is the fact that every night now he's going up against more than likely a fifth-year senior or a senior at his position. And they're looking at him as this, you know, this hot freshman who's on the draft boards, and they're looking to go at him and prove to everybody that, you know, look at me. So he's just got to understand and realize a little bit that, you know, he's got a target on his back, and he has to go into every game ready for that.
So that's Kevin Willard. He was on Vinny and Haney's show earlier this week talking about Derek Queen, and we talked about this earlier in the week ourselves, that like he came out like a house of fire. His first Big Ten game at Purdue, he was great, but it's been a struggle of late for him. And Coach Willard, who they, and by the way, they play Illinois tonight at 9, 17th ranked team in the country, but he said Derek Queen's got to adjust to the fact that there's a bullseye on his back.
Well, or the coach has got to adjust the rotations and the expectations and the configurations of his various rotations around to compensate for it. I mean, he'll be banging with a 7-1 kid tonight. We'll see. I think they're going to have to do some things in the short term to help mitigate his lack of experience and the fact that he doesn't have the strongest hands in the world yet, and the fact that being on the road has not brought out the best in him since that Purdue game. And if it looks like it's one of those nights where he's on the cusp of picking up a couple of fouls and making a decision for you, maybe you need, speaking of fifth-year senior types, a Jordan Geronimo out there. Maybe you need a more athletic Kapari out there. But I don't know about you guys, guy, and maybe this is oversimplifying things, but I feel like this team is teetering now. And when you've got a young man this talented who's being asked a lot of, and whose his efficiencies and his productivity is oscillating wildly from game to game, and this team can't get over the hump on the road, and now they're playing the best team they've faced to this point. Like, I think maybe they congeal and come together and it's us against the world and they finally have a signature big time Big Ten road win against a team that might be a Final Four team, or they do something else that doesn't happen very often and get run out of the gym, because Illinois's got five kids in double figures and a couple on the bench averaging over seven a game.
They're good.
They're the highest scoring team in the conference. They're five more rebounds per game than anybody in the conference. Plus 11 point differential, second best in the conference, and they're bottom five in the league turning it over. They don't turn it over, and they're really good at home, and they're deep, and they're experienced. So, like, good luck.
They're second in the country in rebounding, which is incredible. I asked Chris Nockey this the other day, where I know there's still a lot of games to play, but this stretch to me seems like it could define this season. 3 of 4 on the road. We know that any road game, there's no Sharpie when you're talking about the Terps going on the road against anybody. We know what tonight is, then at Indiana, the one home game's Wisconsin, and then at Ohio State, who you trounced earlier in December, but it's on the road, so it's not a Sharpie game. If they go 1-3 in this stretch, then you're looking, you know, first four in, first four out. You're fighting, scratching, and clawing to find your way to make the tournament. This stretch, I think, is really going to define
it. I like what you just said there, Jason, because to me it reminds me a little, and I don't, quite frankly, right now they don't look as good as that Melo, Tremble, Rasheed. We were talking about it with Ben a little bit earlier, that Rasheed Suleiman, Robert Carter Jr. team. That team peaked in like December and looked one of the top teams in the country. But then everything started kicking the wrong way, to the point that they were fortunate to get to the second round of the tournament and then got blown out by, well, got to the Sweet 16, excuse
me. Yeah,
they
got to the second weekend Kansas.
They had two ups, teams got upset ahead of them.
And then they played
Kansas, and that was like Perry Ellis and guys beat the crap out of them. They were fortunate to get to the Sweet 16, but it is starting to feel like that. Ben, where are you on this team?
I was coming into the season, like I've always said it, I was like, don't get your hopes up, and I saw enough to get there, and now it's coming down a little bit. But, I mean, Tim made the point about going 1-3 in your next four, and I think if you realistically asked me for an expectation, that would be it. I think Ohio State at home, they have Bradshaw back, it's a different Ohio State team, and Maryland struggles on the road, tell you that. So if this team goes 1-3, it's not going to surprise me. But, I mean, to Jason's point about the upset tonight, like, that team last year that was horrible went into Illinois and took them down. Yeah. So, like, it's fully possible it happens. But, I mean, Illinois' best player, Yakichonis, played 8 minutes against Michigan State. He fouled out, or 9 minutes, and fouled out in that time. He's going to have a chip on his shoulder. They're coming off of a loss to Michigan State. So, like, this is a horrible spot. And then I talked to you guys a little bit off air earlier. After this game, which is likely a loss, you go to Indiana – in a game where, and that Indiana team has a lot of talent. You beat Indiana, again, we're going to feel good about it, but a lot of people are going to say, well, Indiana's not very good. You lose to them, Indiana's not good. So then, like, it's a double negative there, and then after that,
it's a no-win situation.
Great, and then beating Wisconsin at home will be awesome, but again, they beat UCLA at home. They almost beat Marquette at home. So the home wins don't move me as much, and then you get Ohio State, who remembers the last game, who has different personnel now. He's got to pull one of these two off, and the fact that right now we're talking about first four in, last four out at some point is really frustrating because the talent on this team is too good to be underachieving the way they have. And after he went out and in every presser told everybody that he didn't have the funds and he didn't have stuff available to him to be good last year, we all bought it. You went and got this brand new team. You got the five-star. You got Jacoby Gillespie, who's been awesome. Why are you not winning now, especially on the road still? And then in the postgame pressers, you sound like, road games are tough. Well, I don't want to hear that anymore. I'm sick and tired of that.
It's time to get over the hump. It's absolutely time to get over the hump. You want to hear
more? Does this team have a backup point guard?
Yeah, it's that Jae Young kid.
Jae Young.
Does this team have a backup point guard?
It's Jae Young. Yeah.
He's more of the facilitator. He's not going to score. Gillespie's...
He'll hit a three every now and then. But yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's sort of the, what was the kid's name that's actually technically still here? The Seton Hall kid that got
Jahari Long.
Jahari Long. He's Jahari Long.
Mm-hmm.
That's who he is. Where's Chance Stevens when you need him?
They say he knocks down shots in practice like nobody else.
Yeah, but he's never ready to play, though. Never ready to play. Do you want to hear more from Kevin Willard?
Sure.
Please.
How about Cut 53? And you alluded to Jordan Geronimo. This was with Vinny and Haney earlier in the week, talking about Geronimo giving them great energy.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the good thing about, you know, having some older guys. And Jordan's one of those mature young men that kind of understands, you know, he missed a big 3 weeks of the season. And other guys stepped up. And now that we get into conference play, everyone's got to be ready. You know, we've been trying to balance out playing Julian Reyes and Derek Queen and trying to get someone in there with those guys at times that can shoot the basketball a little bit better. But Jordan's always been ready and, you know, just felt like we need some defensive intensity in the Nebraska game. And you know, I can always, you know, count on Jordan to come in and give us great energy.
Jordan Geronimo, what, they give him 7 rebounds and 2 blocks in 11 minutes last time?
They're going to need defensive tenacity tonight. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, they need to be dialed in because you're going up against a team that's really got the size over you and has a ton of rebounding prowess.
Like, if you're not up for it on the offensive boards tonight, that's how it gets ugly fast.
And Queen's got to be dialed in.
By the way, I'm not sure if you guys remember, last year at Illinois, Julian Reyes went at it with an assistant. That's something I was talking with Bob about earlier, so he didn't remember. But last year at Illinois, that awful Terps team took them down there, got into it, got a little feisty. So hopefully Reyes can play with a little bit of a chip on his shoulder tonight.
Terps and Illinois tonight at 9. Pregame coverage starts at 8 right here on The Fan. Coming up next, we will get the text of the day. We will preview tomorrow's show, and we'll get you ready. It's BFD. It's Bone Overdrive. 6 here on The Fan. Ah, human nature. Hey, before we get to the text today, there's been a couple of moves in baseball, neither of them involving the Orioles, though, but both names were guys that we thought the Orioles should have some interest in. Jerkson Profar signs a 3-year, $42 million deal with the Braves, and Bob Nightingale is reporting that the Cubs are on the verge of acquiring Ryan Presley from the Astros. This trade needs to get Presley's approval because he's got a no-trade, but I guess that the signs are pointing to that's going to go through. It'll be the second trade the Cubs and Astros make. Remember, Kyle Tucker got traded. Yeah, so a couple of moves, and we thought the Orioles should have been interested in both guys.
Yeah, Profar, not as athletic and twitched up in the outfield as he used to be, but what a season. Look. You got to check out that Jim Bowden. But if you didn't hear the Jim Bowden interview, go to the Odyssey app and check it out. Because he was great on O'Neal. Like, O'Neal, you better hope. You better hope he opts out, basically saying, yeah, otherwise you're stuck with that broken down stiff for 3 years because he's only good for about 80 games a year and he can't really, right? He only hits one kind of pitching.
Yeah, he hits the hell out of lefties.
So, yeah. No, they look, dude, the Santander deal has been now peeled. The onion's been peeled way back on that.
Two-thirds deferred, no interest.
He could have got him for 60 for 3 easy. Yeah. What's a $20 million a year commit? It's not like he's not tradable. It's not like he would have, I'm only doing the deal with a no trade. Hey, come on. They're so short-sighted. The lack of ambition is galling.
Bone.
Yeah. Look, you were bringing up Presley a while ago when we were talking about closer insurance.
Yes.
Because going in without having that, I think, is very short-sighted because we have no idea what Felix Bautista is going to look like following a Tommy John. He certainly isn't going to be the horse that he was the end where he's getting 4, 5, 6 out saves. It's not going to happen. And Profar was a guy making a lot, making less money than O'Neill.
Huge get on base guy.
Yeah, let's get the text of the day.
Check 1, 2, check. Text of the day. Text of the day. Text of the day. Text of the day.
Okay.
Text of the day is sponsored by Orsman Automotive, driven by OrsmanCars.com. Your trade is always worth more at Orsman. Shop their entire inventory now at OrsmanCars.com. Text of the day comes from Daniel in White Marsh, who says, with this being Harbaugh's last year under contract, do we realistically see him being out after the season? How big of a playoff run do we think it would take for an extension?
I think he's getting an extension this offseason.
He won't go into a lame duck here.
I think he's getting an extension.
Yeah.
I think that seemed, if you want to read tea leaves and body language and stuff like that, I think he's getting extension this offseason. Though they don't really publicize that. Like, it sort of comes out after a while. But I expect Harbs to get an extension.
There's no way he's not getting re-upped. Guys like him don't coach it out. And this owner has never really let it get to a point where it's become an issue.
No.
And I mean, again, we don't have enough time in the show for all the people who think that there's a bunch of people out there who could do what he's done or take him to the next level.
Hire Monk.
I don't think there's, I'm not saying there's none, but I don't think there's that many.
Bone, BFD tonight, but no studs and duds, I'm assuming. Done, right?
Studs and duds are done. We're going to put a bow on the season-ending press conference, look back at the season that was, biggest takeaways from that. We're going to preview the conference championship games. Sean Merriman is going to be joining us at 6:30.
Is that Lights Out?
Lights Out.
It's kind of, it usually comes on around, he's got coach drives. It's that time of year. I usually raise a lot of gets like coach for
Gotcha. Yeah, that's usually the end of Maryland football season. This is actually courtesy of Bet Online.
Oh, very nice. Yes. Very nice.
Bet Online.
Bone, I will stick with you because the people can't get enough of you. What do we have on tomorrow's show?
Tomorrow's show, we have Ariel Epstein, get our best bets with her.
And Beltway Ben.
Mike Bordick. It's been a while since we've heard from Bordy. Aditi Kinkabwala, we'll talk to Aditi, and Jimmy Patsos joins us in studio.
In studio, sunshine.
Maybe talking about the biggest Terps win of the year.
Oh, God.
Maybe.
From your lips to God's ears. I hope we're happy about what we see tonight. I'm not confident, but I'm hopeful. All we got's hope.
Yeah, I mean, if they bring it, they could win it.
I like that. That should be That's a good. T-shirt.
Did you even pretend for that?
Harbs should have that as a t-shirt next year during training camp. Bring it and win it.
City of
winners. Don't fumble it.
And don't fumble it.
Don't drop it.
Hey, don't change that dial because next it's BFD, which I think will be leading. No,
Mike Popovic.
Then into pregame coverage. Terps and Illinois. That game tips at 9 here on The Fan.